As was announced, the scripture reading will be taken from Matthew chapter 15, verses 13 and 14. Matthew chapter 15, verses 13 and 14. And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. But he answered and said, "Every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind leads the blind, both will fall into a ditch."
Good to be with you as always. On last Sunday evening, we preached a lesson dealing with the fact that not all people are going to heaven. In fact, that was the title of the sermon. Not everyone is going to heaven. And at that time, we emphasized that it takes more than just goodness, more than being religiously inclined, more than being sincere, even more than believing in Jesus in order to go to heaven. Those who are going to go to heaven are simply those who obeyed the gospel of Christ. Romans 1 at verse 16, Paul emphasizes that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And at that time, we emphasize, sadly, that there are going to be more people lost than there are saved. Based upon what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, you remember he emphasized the fact that the way that leads to destruction is wide, while the way that leads to life is narrow or straight. And so we recognize that it's a sad situation, but it is a reality. More people will spend eternity in a devil's hell than there will be in heaven. And so that, again, is something that we shouldn't be happy about. In fact, it, again, is very sad, but that's the reality. And during the course of that lesson, you might remember, I can't exactly remember the point I was making, but I emphasized that those in denominational churches will be lost because denominational churches are not the church of our Lord. And again, I can't remember exactly what point I was making, but I do remember sitting down and thinking to myself when I did, I think I better connect those dots a little bit. And so tonight I want to emphasize the fact that denominationalism is wrong and why denominationalism is wrong. And it's important for us to understand this, and this is simply a very simple lesson here tonight, but it's one that many of you have heard, at least in some form or fashion. We've all heard lessons on this, but it's very important. It's particularly important for our young people to understand why it is that denominationalism is wrong. We don't want our young people to think that the Church of Christ is right just because their parents are members of the Church of Christ, or that denominations are wrong just because some preacher got up and said that they're wrong. We should all know exactly why denominational churches are wrong. And, of course, we preach a lesson like this from the heart, sincerely, because we love people and we want people to be saved. We don't want anyone to be lost. And as the scripture reading indicated, every plant that our Heavenly Father has not planted will be rooted up. If the blind lead the blind, then both shall fall into the ditch. And there are many applications we can make of that, particularly the illustration of the plant being plucked up. But certainly, denominations are, so to speak, man-made plants that will be rooted up in the end. But why are denominations wrong? We'll make a couple of points along those lines, put it in two categories. First of all, denominationalism is wrong simply because they are unscriptural. And when we think about that, un, of course, meaning not, and the point of it is, denominations are not in the Bible. You can't read of one denominational church in the Word of God. And right away, a red flag should go up. Certainly, we know that the church of our Lord is a church you read about in the Bible. And so, if I'm a member of a church that you can't even read about in the Bible, that's going to signal something to me. That's going to tell me that it must be wrong. But denominational churches aren't in the Bible. The first denominational church, of course, the Catholic Church, was established formally in the current form that they are in 606 A.D., And we recognize that it was over a 500 period of time that they came about, unlike the denominations that followed them. And so you may read of them, at least in part, as they were being formed and being organized before 606. But in 606 is when the first man was crowned as the universal pope. But now you stop and think about that. The church of our Lord was established in the first century. The gospel, of course, was preached on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. Peter emphasizing that Jesus Christ, the one that the Jews had crucified, had been raised from the dead. And the hearts of those Jews who Peter indicated that they had crucified, they had taken and with wicked hands had crucified and slain. That God had raised them from the dead, and those Jews listened to that. Their hearts were pricked, and so they asked Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter, of course, said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You remember at verse 41, it says that those who gladly received the word were baptized, and there were about 3,000 souls at that time added to them. Verse 47 says, praising God and having favor with all of the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. And so in Acts chapter 2, you see the church of our Lord being established. That again was in the first century, about A.D. 30 or between A.D. 30 and 33. The church of our Lord was established. That's long before 606 A.D., isn't it? And so you don't read of a denomination anywhere in the Bible because of that. After the Roman Catholic Church was established, of course, years later, Martin Luther came along and rebelled against Catholicism, and eventually the Lutheran Church was established, and then one denominational church popped up after another in what we refer to as the Reformation movement. But all of that comes too late. And because that's long after the Bible was written, the Bible was completed in the first century, then denominational churches are unscriptural because they're not in the Scriptures. You don't read about them in the Scriptures. Again, you do read about the Church of Christ. Romans 16 at verse 16, Paul said, salute one another with the holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. So you can open up your Bibles and you can read of the church of Christ in the Bible, not just in name, but you can recognize it by its identifying marks. But you don't see that with denominational churches, so they're unscriptural. And that tells us right away that there must be no salvation in them. They're man-made. They're those plants that have been made by man that will be rooted up. But they're not just unscriptural. Even more, we should emphasize that denominationalism is wrong because they are anti-scriptural. They are against Scripture. Everything about denominationalism is anti-scriptural. You remember, of course, a denomination has to do with a division. But when you look at what Jesus prayed for in John chapter 17, he prayed for unity. And so denominationalism in itself stands basically for division. It's what the word means. And it casts the religious world into confusion. People don't want to see all the division. When people see all of these churches with different names and practicing different things, and on every corner there's a different church, and they all claim to be following the same Bible, that, again, is confusion to people, and that turns people away from what they call organized religion. And so it is certainly against what Jesus prayed for, what Paul begged for in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 when he begged the Corinthians to speak the same things and be of the same mind, to be perfectly joined together. Denominationalism is anti-scriptural just by its very nature. But we've often pointed out something else that is anti-scripture is the very organizational structure of denominational churches. You've heard me say many times before that the denominational churches are made up of churches. A denomination is a church of churches. Far more complicated than anything you read about in the Bible. In the Bible, you read about the universal church made up of all the saved, but then you read of local churches made up of elders, deacons, and saints, and that's it. And we find there's a lot of difference between the church you read about in the Bible and the organizational structure of denominational churches. Remember the Hebrew writer in Hebrews chapter 8 and at verse 5 says, do all things according to the pattern. That's not just a suggestion. That's a very important thing, that we must do all things according to the pattern. The organizational structure of the local church should be exactly what you read about in the Bible. But it is not the case with denominational churches. Again, they are a church of churches. Within their denominations, you have a pastor system where one man has the rule, has the authority over that particular local church. Sometimes he has authority over more than one church, but at least he is the one who is the head over that particular local church of whatever denomination you want to mention. That's anti-scriptural. You don't read about that in the Bible at all. In the Bible, again, Philippians chapter 1, and at verse 1, you read of elders, plural. You remember in Acts chapter 14 when Paul, of course, on his first missionary journey, he established many local churches in the area of Asia Minor. And then he went back afterwards and he encouraged the saints in the various locations where churches were established. And you remember the record says that he appointed elders in every church. Elders, plural. You don't have one example in the Bible, in the New Testament, where you read about the New Testament church, you don't have one example of a pastor system. You never see a church, one church with one pastor, one man who is over that church. It's always a plurality of elders. Again, Philippians 1:1. We find with regard to the church at Ephesus, from Acts chapter 20, the church at Ephesus had a plurality of elders, just like the church in Philippi. We find from Acts chapter 15 that the church in Jerusalem had a plurality of elders. And that's the pattern. What did the Hebrews writer say? Do all things according to the pattern. And by the way, the whole business of having one man who is the pastor over a local church, in denominations, they usually wear some kind of man-made title like reverend or right reverend or something of that nature. That's anti-scriptural. Read in Matthew chapter 23 when you get a chance where Jesus said, call no man father. Call no man rabbi. The Bible condemns of the wearing of religious titles that are meant to exalt an individual. Why did Jesus say in that context, don't call any man father? He told us exactly why. He said, because we are all brethren. But in denominational churches, they have one man or sometimes a woman who is the head of that particular church and set aside by wearing some kind of special robe or by wearing some kind of special title that separates him or her from the rest of the congregation. That, again, is anti-scriptural. And as I suggested, sometimes you have a pastor or some kind of district bishop, something along those lines, who will have rule not only over one local congregation, but over several congregations in a particular district. But in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1 and 2, Peter, as he addresses the elders, he tells them to oversee the flock which is among you, emphasizing that elders only have the oversight over the local church that appointed them to be elders. And they don't have any business in any other local church. They oversee only the flock which is among them. That's the simple pattern of the New Testament. In denominational churches, you find that that is not the case. It is anti-scriptural. What's wrong with denominational churches? Just to begin, you realize, well, the first thing is wrong with them. You don't read about them in the Bible. They came several hundred years, nearly 600 years, the first one, but after the New Testament church was established. But not only that, they're anti-scriptural. They're anti-scriptural in their very existence. They're anti-scriptural in their organizational structure. They're anti-scriptural in even what they teach. Denominational churches teach things that you don't read about in the Bible. Now, I've said that many times before, a lot of times we confuse that. We think it's the false teaching that makes a denomination, but no, it's their organizational structure that makes them a denomination. Again, being a church of churches. But it is the case that denominational churches all teach things that you just don't read about in the Bible, and in fact, some things that contradict and that go against the very teachings that you read about in the Bible. It doesn't get any more serious than when it comes down to God's plan of salvation. Almost every denominational church teaches error when it comes down to God's plan of salvation. Almost every denomination denies that baptism is for the remission or forgiveness of sins. Acts 2 at verse 38. That certainly is anti-scriptural, isn't it? We don't have to guess and wonder. You ever thought about the fact that one of the easiest things to understand in the Bible is God's plan of salvation? The hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and being baptized. There's passage after passage that indicates that all of those steps are needed and necessary. And I suspect that outside of belief, there are more passages that talk about and emphasize the place and the importance of baptism than any of the other steps. We're told exactly in Scripture what it does. Again, it is for the forgiveness of sins. We're told in Galatians 3 at verse 27 that it puts one into Christ. We know from other passages, as we talked a little bit about in our Bible class this morning, that that's where you contact the blood and your sins are washed away, not by water, but by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. That's where the blood is applied or appropriated in the waters of baptism. Well, why, preacher? Why did God make it like that? I have no idea. It's none of my business. I just know that's what the Bible teaches. But denominations come along and say, no, you don't need to be baptized. You're saved without baptism. All you have to do is believe in Jesus. That's all anti-scriptural. What's wrong with denominational churches? They teach error. Even on the fundamental issue of how one becomes a child of God. And I don't have time tonight to look at all of the many false teachings, from the idea that you can't fall from grace to the idea that you're somehow born in sin and you inherit Adam's sin, and the list goes on and on of false teachers that are taught in most denominational churches. But not only do they teach things that are contrary to the Bible, they worship in ways that are not authorized in the Bible. That's anti-scriptural. What's wrong with denominational churches? When a church worships God in a way that's not authorized, that means they're not worshiping God in truth. John chapter 4 at verse 24, Jesus said that we must worship God in spirit and in truth. Now, to their credit, most denominations worship God in spirit, that is, with the right attitude. They're wanting to praise God. They think that they're praising God, but they don't worship God according to truth. The truth is God's word. And when you do things that aren't authorized by the word of God, like, for example, the use of the musical instrument, then you're not worshiping God in truth. You remember in Colossians 3 at verse 17 that everything we do in word or deed must be done in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we must only do that which is authorized. Whether it's the music that they have, whether it's the observing of the Lord's Supper. Some denominations do it once a year. Some denominations do it quarterly. Some denominations don't do it at all. And that's anti-scriptural. So they don't worship in a way that is authorized by the Word of God. We could emphasize the work that they do. Every denomination gets involved in things that aren't the work of the church. Remember Ephesians 4 and at verse 12, the work of the local church, of course, is benevolence and evangelism and edification, not fun and frolic and recreation and entertainment and all those kind of things, but every denomination gets involved in those things. What did the Hebrew writer say? Do all things according to the pattern. You have to be able to put your finger on the passage and say, this is why we do this and this is why we do that. We observe the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week. Why? Here's the passage, Acts 20 at verse 7. We sing praises unto God. We don't use a musical instrument. We don't pluck or play or any of that. Why? Here's the passage that says sing. Ephesians chapter 5 at verse 19, Colossians 3 and at verse 16, many other passages. We know in faithful churches of Christ, in local churches, that what we're doing is exactly what God wants because we can open up our Bibles and read about it. We have specific instruction to do what we're doing. Denominational churches don't really believe at the end of the day that you need Bible authority for all that you do. And so they engage in acts of worship and they engage in various works that aren't authorized by the Bible. All of that is anti-scriptural. So, what's wrong with denominational churches? They're unscriptural. They're anti-scriptural. And all of us, listen, it's not just our young people. I hope that our young people will understand. I hear all the time of individuals. It wasn't just but a couple of weeks ago that Janice and I were studying with a lady who... family, and the lady was a member of the Church of Christ. She had been baptized into the church some time ago when she was about 17 years old or so. But she confessed to us that she had been, over the last several years of her life, involved in several different denominational churches. Well, that's not altogether uncommon, sadly. It's not rare to hear of members of churches of Christ leaving the church and going to denominational churches. And I don't want our young people to do that. I want our young people to understand that the Church of Christ is right. Why? Again, not because the preacher says so, not even because your parents say so, but because you read about the Church of Christ on the pages of the New Testament. And it's not just the young people. I see sometimes those who aren't so young. We have every group in the church. Sometimes those who are young, sometimes those who are old, sometimes those who are in between, who at some point in time, for whatever reason, leave the faith and go to a denominational church. They somehow are convinced that maybe denominationalism is not wrong. Maybe they talk to family members who are a part of denominational churches. Maybe they work with somebody. Maybe they just associate, start dating somebody or whatever the case may be, who is a member of a denominational church. And that person is able to sway them into believing, no, the Church of Christ isn't the only church you read about in the Bible. All these churches are okay. Denominationalism is okay. I want all of us to understand that denominationalism is wrong. Why? Because it's unscriptural, it's anti-scriptural. And that should be firmly planted in your mind so that no matter what the future brings, some of you may move away at some point. Our young people may grow up and get married and occupation or whatever might take you to some other part of Ohio, maybe to another state, no matter where you go. You should be seeking out a church of Christ to worship because the church of Christ is the church you read about in the Bible, not a denominational church. Don't let the devil fool you. Don't let anyone talk you out of that truth. The church of Christ is right. Denominationalism is wrong for the reasons that I've stated tonight. Not everyone's going to heaven, as we said last week. And yes, those in denominational churches, they're not going to make it to heaven. Why? Because they haven't even obeyed the gospel for the most part. For the most part, those in them haven't obeyed the gospel. Those who have and who have left the truth and have gone to denominational churches have left the faith. And it's sad, and We want to do everything we can to get them back and to encourage them to come back. But what we don't want to do is convince ourselves it's okay. Denominationalism is okay. Not what I prefer, but it's okay. No, denominationalism is wrong. I hope we understand that, and that again is firmly planted in our minds. Are you subject to the invitation of Christ tonight? Maybe you're a member of a denominational church. We have not said anything tonight in an attempt to offend you at all. But we do want you to see what is right and what is wrong. If you want a relationship with the God of heaven, as we have said, you have to obey the gospel. We've already told you how to do that. You can do that tonight. Right behind me, there's a baptistry. You can see there's water. And you can be baptized into Christ in just a few minutes. It doesn't matter why you came here tonight. You can obey the gospel tonight. You can be buried in the waters of baptism. Your sins can be washed away by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And you can find yourself a child of God in fellowship with God. And then all you have to do is live faithfully unto death, Revelation 2 and at verse 10. And you'll have a home in heaven after a while. If you're a member of the body of Christ and you have drifted away, if you haven't obeyed, or if you have obeyed the gospel of Christ and you haven't been faithful, repent and ask God for forgiveness. Acts chapter 8, He's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins. If you have sinned publicly, let us know about it. We'll pray for you, we'll encourage you, we'll help you do anything we can to keep you on the right track. But don't leave tonight not right with God. The church of Christ is right and you need to be a member of it. If you're not, do something about it. Do it right now as we together stand and sing.